rock and roll disc jockeys were every bit as glamorous as the recording stars they played on the air. In fact, a New York disc jockey named Alan Freed gave rock and roll its name. Actually, Freed's influence was immeasurable. He probably could not have known that a New York teenager named Bob Smith was listening to him back in the 50s, enthralled with his mannerisms, fantasizing about the day that he could be just like him.
I'd say when I was a little kid, you know, I was brought up listening to Alan Freed, right? And also disc jockeys like Tommy Small from Small's Paradise in Harlem used to broadcast in New York when I was a kid. And the Hound from Buffalo, New York was on the air. And it's a combination of all of these people, which is where the Wolfman came from.
Ladies and gentlemen, here he is, Wolfman Jack!
Bob Smith spent his first 4 years in radio as simply Bob Smith. Those were the years from 1958 to 1962, when he floated from station to station in small southern cities. Finally, he landed up on a Mexican station south of Del Rio, Texas, XERF. And that's when he first began calling himself Wolfman Jack.
Back in the days when I was just getting started, you know, the hip thing was to say, what's happening, Jack, you know? Hey, Jack, what's going on? You know, so that was the hip slang, you know? So being a horror classic freak like I am, I chose the Wolfman because it was a very animal-sounding name, and the name Jack because of the hip slang, you know, what's happening, Jack? Because Jack always knew what was happening. You understand what I mean?
And suddenly, Bob Smith became a star, as big as any of the recording stars he played on the air.
Well, I tell you, from the first time I went on the air with Wolfman Jack, I did tremendous with it. I mean, it was an instant success. I mean, the first night I went on the air, I know we ran mail order record spots and stuff, and I think 2 days later, I collected like 4,000 or 5,000 pieces of mail. And that was the first night on the air. No promotion, no nothing, you know. The station just had such a phenomenal signal, it covered all those people.
From that day until now, Bob Smith has slowly faded away. And the Wolfman has taken over his body.
And his soul too, baby.
Now, I signed the checks, Wolfman Jack. Signed the agreements, Wolfman Jack. Even I changed my old lady's name to Lucy Lamb Jack.
Hey, Wolfman.
How you doing, man?
All right.
How you feeling, baby?
Okay.
Huh?
Okay.
Are you all right, man?
Yeah, I'm all right.
Does your boogaloo ache from worthy companionship?
Not too much.
Huh?
Not too much.
Did you change colors on your boogaloo, man? Is it pretty orange now?
Back in the early 60s, if you were hip, and I mean really hip, you listened to Wolfman Jack. It probably took a little bit of doing to get your radio in the right position so that its antenna would be directed at one of those Mexican border towns where Wolfman shows would beam from. But on a full moon, even people in Seattle could hear the Wolfman. What they heard was rock and roll mixed with some of the scammiest commercials ever heard.
See, I had total freedom to do whatever I want to do. I say you're going to boil it, but just you don't soil it. We're going to give you 300 baby chicks. No, I'm going to send you 100 baby chicks right now for just $3.95. Cash, check, or money order. You know, we sold baby chicks. Sold mail order record packages, more weight, less weight. I even had a little product I called Florex that I made a deal with some pharmaceutical company in Mexico City, and we sold these little sugar pills before the FTC put us away, you know? And these little sugar pills were supposed to stimulate your sexual life, you understand what I mean? If you weren't making it, you'd take one of these Florex pills, and man, you were doing it then. Well, we advertised Florex, I remember, for about 3 months, and tremendous response. I mean, people were just ordering it like it was going out of style. Never heard anything like this before. I could see guys, you know, getting a bottle of 300 pills and downing the whole thing, chasing after everybody in town, right? It really didn't do anything to stimulate you, but the psychological thing made it work.
Wolfman says that after receiving complaints from the U.S. government about the pills, he took the product off the air. But even 2 years afterwards, he claims, he was still receiving an average of 300 orders a week for the sugar pills. And did the Wolfman suffer any conscience pangs during those days?
Well, I thought about, like, say, I thought the preachers at first was ripping people off, you know.
Yeah, you had a lot of preachers on that radio station.
Yeah, and I was nailing them for all the money I could get, too, you know. But then after I was with it for a while, and I got around the whole situation, I found out that nobody was really ripping anybody off, because you can't really rip anybody off in a situation like that. Either you're doing something for them or you're not doing something for them. And if you are doing something for them, you're going to send you some money.
And besides, the Wolfman himself was pretty well protected against interference by the authorities. Nobody knew who he was.
Wolfman Jack! X-E-R-B.
Ah, it's
It's Wolfman Jack Show, baby. Oh, boy, you
For years, he was just a voice over the radio. His listeners debated among themselves whether he was white or black or even, as one rumor had it, Chinese. In reality, Wolfman Jack was Bob Smith, the manager, program director, sales manager, production engineer, and, as the Wolfman, the main man on XERB, a radio station sending out enough power to be picked up on foil-wrapped marijuana bricks being smuggled across the border at Tijuana. If someone wanted to talk to the Wolfman, he talked instead to Bob Smith. No one saw the Wolfman. But then came the day that he received an offer to appear at the University of Kansas in Lawrence.
I told him, I said, the Wolfman, you know, don't make no appearances. You know, they were talking to Bob Smith at the time. He said, the Wolfman don't make no appearances, don't want to make no appearances, ain't interested in no appearances. But we'll give him a lot of money, they kept saying. I said, well, how much money are you going to give to the Wolfman? Well, they started out with $5,000. I said, you wouldn't even look at that. I said, well, we'll give him $10,000 if he'll come up here. I say, well, I'll talk to him about that.
And so Bob Smith talked to his other self, the Wolfman, and decided that the people in Kansas had made an offer that he couldn't refuse. He asked for and got an advance payment of $5,000. He then hired two limousines and drove to Lawrence.
Got all dressed up with this big super-powered wig I had on and these long fingernails and the robes and everything, and I went into to Kansas. And I had one limousine pull up with all these Mexican dudes, got out in tuxedos, you know, and laid a rug out for me so that when I pulled up, the limousine door would open, I'd step out on the red rug and walk into the thing. And the other thing I told him, I said, when I arrived at the college, I said, I want the other $5,000 in $20 bills in a brown paper bag. And the guys came out, they had the brown paper bag with the $20. Well, I got on the stage, I did about 15 minutes for this great big college, and there must have been 20,000 people there. I had no act together. All I had was this costume I was wearing and all these Mexican dudes running all around spraying perfume in the air and everything else.
These days, Wolfman Jack often makes personal appearances, singing and dancing in front of expensive sets, and accompanied by an orchestra, backup singers, and dancers. A lot of the mystique that he created back at that Mexican radio station has disappeared, but not one whit of the hipness.
Hey, Lee, listen, man, you sucking little suds, baby?
Huh?
Are you sucking out a little suds?
Well, no, I'd like to be sucking.
The offices and studios of XERB were actually in Los Angeles, and Bob Smith would be the man to see if he wanted to buy time on the station to sell anything from sex pills to religion. For a time, Smith, or the Wolfman, claims he was bothered by the money he saw the faith healers, fortune tellers, and preachers raking in. But then he began to rationalize their scam this way.
It's really not a ripoff. It's whatever the traffic will bear. If you're getting entertained, if you're getting spiritually enlightened, I mean, it's going to cost you a few dollars, right?
And it is obvious that Wolfman Jack misses those days when he was almost single-handedly running one of the most lucrative radio stations anywhere in the world. Lucrative mostly for him.
We only had a staff of about 7 people that ran XERB, and that was a big 50,000-watt clear channel, you know, that was doing like $100,000 a month, and it was costing like $50,000 a month to operate the station. So the station was making a profit of about $50,000 a month. And then this new president comes into Mexico, throws all the preachers off the air, and the old Wolfman went down the tubes, went down into way down there. And then all of a sudden I met Lou Irwin at K-Day and brightened up my whole situation, got back in the groove again, remember?
How could I forget? Brightened up my whole situation, too. I worked with the Wolfman on a Los Angeles radio station for about 2 years. In those days, however, he was merely a disc jockey, playing records he was told to play, urged by the program director to tone down his craziness. But while he was there, a young film director named George Lucas heard him and asked if he would be interested in appearing in a movie he was making called American Graffiti.
Because Lucas had grown up and listened to the Wolfman, and when I went in to do American Graffiti, when I looked at the script, on every page, it was Wolfman said this, Wolfman said that, and I was just blown away, you know, and I said, you know, I'll pay to do this movie. I'll do anything you want, you know. Whatever you need. Need some money, George?
Just the opposite. Lucas gave the Wolfman a percentage of the profits, which ultimately helped him recover, finally, from his defeat by that house-cleaning Mexican president. It's hard. hard to avoid that voice, no matter where you are in the world. You can hear Wolfman Jack on American Forces Radio overseas, on his own syndicated radio show, on the Midnight Special, on his own TV variety show in the fall, on pimple cream commercials, in personal appearances. And when I interviewed him recently, a reporter for People magazine was just finishing up with him. The Wolfman has become famous. Still, there's no question about the fact that he misses the old days, screaming over some high-powered Mexican radio station. What's more, he misses what radio used to be.
The young folks nowadays don't remember the big personalities like Jocko and Roscoe, you know, and Alan Freed and the Hound from Buffalo and Dick Biondi and all these great personalities. I'm talking about rock jocks that really did it. I mean, really turned the city around. I mean, got the masses to follow them wherever they went.
How you make that noise, man?
I do it with my feet, man.
With your feet?
I put my two big toes in my nostril, you see?
You put it in your nostril? Do you do it behind your head or in front of you?
No, behind my head.
Oh, behind your head?
Well, you get the best sound.
That's a fantastic feat, you understand? Go ahead and do it again, man. I want to hear you do it. The woman, you don't know.